Hello, everybody, and welcome to Kentucky Ag Matters, a podcast designed to inform and educate both producers and consumers about all matters affecting agriculture. On this week's show, David, Jay, and Vicki will visit with Sharon Spencer, Division Director for Direct Farm Markets with Kentucky Department of Agriculture. Our weekly topic will be Kentucky's Farmers Markets, and as always, we'll wrap things up with this week's timely tip. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope you enjoy our show. Well, hello again, everybody.
How are you? You doing all right? Feeling better these days, right?
I'm feeling a lot better compared to the way I was last week. I had a little medical bout with some kidney stones that I was supposed to be on vacation all week, so I didn't have any work things planned. That was a good thing. But I didn't get any vacationing done, to say the least.
So. Yeah, vacation didn't go as planned.
They're watching you. They knew you were going to be off, Jay.
I think that was the case.
They're listening to you. That's what you know I always say. Right. They're listening to my phone's listening to me.
And you know, the bad thing is kidney stones, they can hit at the most appropriate time or not appropriate time.
I have never had good ones. I've had some that were, you know, slightly uncomfortable, but you just pushed on through it. It wasn't that big a deal. And then I've had some that had me in the floor crying like somebody took my Barbie dolls away. And that's about as graphic as I could put it, crying.
Did they take your Barbie dolls this time?
I felt like they did. There was a time on Sunday when I laid in the floor and begged my wife, either you drive me to the hospital or I will.
So. They are very painful. I've been there. My husband had them, and I said, just suck it up. It'll be okay. And then I had them. Yeah. They're painful.
Had to eat a few words there. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, just a few.
My wife brought it to my attention that she had, you know, given birth several years ago. And I said, that's right. I said, but you have not given birth four times in 3 days. And I said, that's really what I feel like here at this point. So, but that being aside, I'm doing a lot better. How's everything in your part of the world?
It's going good. I mean, we have sunshine and we're back in the field, so that's always a good thing. We've got tractors running, planters running, anhydrous going down. So in a year like this, farmers are a whole lot happier when they can get back in the field. So
on the way to Dixon today, I saw a lot of planters going. Just every other field had somebody working it, and that playing catch up mostly right now because they are behind. But it's that time of the year. They're on the roads, and we need to be watching out for them.
Yeah, and just a reminder, on the way over here this morning, I met a tractor with a 16-row planter and didn't have any flaggers or anything of this nature. And so we want to do a better job of trying to let folks know we're coming and let them know what's coming, what they're coming up on as we travel the roadways. So try not to travel in those peak hours, which we were right in the middle of the peak hours when I met this particular tractor and planter. But
and
do what you got to do.
And school's still in session.
Sure.
So you've got school traffic and bus traffic, and then you're going to add farm equipment, you know, moving down the road on top of that. And so we really need to make sure that we're trying to share the road, and farmers need to do their part, as well as motorists and all of us do our part and be prepared and you know, and just let's all share the road. Slow down and stay off the cell phones while you're driving.
You're right, though, David. It is a good reminder this time of the year for everybody to know that if you're in our rural areas, you're going to encounter some vehicles like that. So.
And it is frustrating because you get behind something that's moving slow, and, you know, you feel like you've got to be someplace that you need to be. And, you know, they're out doing their job. They're making a living, and they're also feeding us, too. And clothing us as well as what we talked about earlier. So, right. You know, so you got to be extremely careful and
providing us with refreshments.
That is absolutely right.
So just make for sure you watch out for our farmers, and our farmers need to watch out for us as well. Sure. But, you know, and like Vicki said, put your cell phone down. You know, I travel the whole state, and there's so many times that I see people, they've got a drink or a cigarette in one hand and a phone in the other, and I'm thinking, which hand are they driving with? But right. So just, you know, just be
good
safe.
Point.
We want everybody to get home safe at night.
That's right.
My wife used to tell me that she used to put makeup on driving to Nashville. She used to work at Vanderbilt, and she used to put makeup on driving to Nashville, and she'd drive with her knees. And I told her that was probably the most dangerous thing I'd ever heard in my life, that I just about assumed she didn't not do that anymore. So
yeah.
I've kind of got that curtailed, fixed that.
She listened to you.
Yeah, I'm sure she did.
She just doesn't tell you anymore.
I'm not riding with her. That's our business, you know. So, but yeah, that was not good.
We just need to be aware.
Yeah,
it is a reminder. When we're on the road, that's where our attention needs to be, and it's easy for it to get diverted and go a lot of other places. But that,
especially when you drive the same road every day.
Absolutely. That's exactly right, David.
We all get comfortable with the routes that we take and the traffic that we're used to incurring. But this time of the year, you're liable to meet anything. So.
Yep.
You know, and that's one thing that we also preach at Kentucky Department of Ag. We've got farm and home safety. And Dale Dobson, our safety guru, he's always out preaching, you know, share the road. And that's not just for, you know, normal folks out there driving. That's also for our farmers as well. But sometimes it's hard. It's hard for the, you know, to get over. If you've got a tractor and you've got something you're pulling behind you, it's hard to get over.
Every place isn't made to pull over.
No,
that's for
and
sure.
Sometimes on that side of the road too, you don't know what you're going to run over. So it's a little bit expensive to get a flat tire. So whenever you get a chance to pass or an opportunity or whatever, just be careful. So.
Patience. Everybody needs to practice their patience.
Wave with your whole hand.
Wave with your whole hand.
Not the California howdy.
That's right.
Yes, that's exactly right.
I've heard that called a lot of things. I don't think I've ever heard it called that before.
Yeah, you haven't heard California howdy?
Yeah, I've heard that.
I have too.
I've had that on numerous occasions here in Franklin County or whatever, driving the tractor on the road, and I just wave back. But the full hand.
Smile.
And smile,
too. I like
or blow him a kiss.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
I like it even better. So, Sharon Spencer, welcome. You've jumped right into our conversation this morning. We're glad you did. We're glad to have you here this week. Tell us a little bit about your job title and what all that entails, because like most of us, your job title is probably just a little bit, just a small part of what you actually do.
We all wear many hats. I know you guys do too. So, but it's great to join you all. I'm excited because I got to come to Webster County. One of my favorite ag agents lives in Webster County, Ms. Vicki Shadrick. We've been friends for a while. So it gives me an opportunity to get to see her. And I always told her, I said, you get a farmer's market in your county and I'll get to see you more.
I got the farmer's market here.
I don't ever come back.
I did my part.
You know, I told her, you build it and Sharon will come. But nope, doesn't work that way. But I've got the best job around. I do work for Kentucky Department of Ag, and I'm in the Office of Marketing. And in the Office of Marketing, we have the Direct Farm Marketing Division. And I get to work with agritourism and farmers markets. And so it's a really cool job that I've got. And I always say I've always got the fun programs. And I try not to say that too many times because I have a feeling Commissioner Quarles will say I'm paying her too much to have too much fun. But it's really good. It's just knowing that you're helping those producers and you're helping consumers get fresh, locally food and everything directly to them. And just kind of supporting our folks. It makes a big difference knowing that you may be keeping that farm in the family for the next generation. So it's been a lot of fun.
You know, we think about farmers and we talk about farmers. And, you know, sometimes when we think about a farmer, we're thinking about, you know, row crop or grain crop farmers. Or we think about livestock farmers or tobacco producers. We don't always think about vegetable growers as farmers. And they are. They are farmers, too. But sometimes we don't, you know, some people don't connect the dots. If you're outside of agriculture a little bit, you don't. You know, you don't think of that part as being part of being a farmer, but they certainly are.
And speaking from experience, we used to grow peppers, and that is probably the hardest work that I had. I'd rather cut tobacco than I had picked peppers. I mean, crawling around and bending over for hours at a time, I just soon cut tobacco. That's the hardest work I ever did.
Growing up, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Was that when there was a pepper buying station over at Cerulean?
Yes. I mean, I was being over, and I was little. I mean, I was littler than I am now, but I was closer to the ground, but my back still hurt.
Yeah.
So,
hey, it's not for
it's hard work.
It's
not
hard
for the
work.
Faint of heart. You're
it's
right
not.
About that.
No, it's
hard
not.
Work.
That's about like pulling tobacco plants. Don't know if you've ever done that
I
or not.
Have.
Plenty.
You know, they had tobacco beds or whatever, and you had to pull the plants directly from that. Now they've got float beds. Mm-hmm. Float beds was like the stuff.
That's the best thing since sliced bread as far as I'm concerned.
We raise tobacco, and like I said, I feel like I'm in a self-help program because I'll say I'm 8 years out of raising tobacco, but we used to grow burley there in Franklin County and Woodford County as well. And it never failed. Every time we got ready to pull plants, my husband would take me out to the plant beds, drop me off, and go, I got to fill the tractor up. I got to go cut ground. He always had something else. And about lunchtime, see, Vicki, it must be
to me,
guy
too. Yeah. My dad did. These guys told me they thought that might have to do with, I had an entry-level job, and my dad was more of a manager.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was more of the manager, and I was entry-level.
Your daddy's a boss man.
He is. He's still the boss man. Yes, he is. He's still the boss. That's right. Mm-mm-mm. But, you know, it is time for farmers markets, too, Sharon. And I know that you work directly with farmers markets. And I know, you, like you said, you wear a lot of hats and work with a lot of different folks. But you work really closely with the farmers markets across the states and help us get them started. I know when we started one here in Webster County, she was very instrumental in getting us off the ground and off to a good start and what we needed to do. And since then, she's, you know, you've helped us be able to expand the market and offer other opportunities to our, you know, to our consumers that we may not have known about. So, you know, just talk about farmers markets in Kentucky and just the benefits of a farmers market. You know, we know they're beneficial, but you can expand on that a little bit more.
The farmers markets that we've got here in Kentucky, the number just continues to grow and grow. We've got 174 farmers markets. We do ask the farmers markets to register with our office, and the reason for that is that provides them an opportunity to get WIC and senior nutritional programs, as well as SNAP, which is food stamp programs that they can take at the farmers market. Also, anybody that's wanting to do home-based processing in their kitchen, that allows them to sell those products. You know, just kind of experiment. Sometimes you want to experiment. I know Carly, your daughter, whatever, Vicki, Carly started selling at the farmers markets and doing some of her bakery. And her products, her cakes and her cupcakes are just absolutely amazing. And that's how a lot of times that we can get a lot of our producers to start out small and then advance into a commercial business. Right. And so that's been a huge difference. But not only that, it supports a local economy. That money that you're spending there at the farmers markets is staying local. And so, and also it's just helping our farmers. It's helping the farmers possibly keep the farms. You know, a lot of times when they have other things that come up, if they lose a job, they decide to go into something else. And, you know, we talked about tobacco. A lot of our producers that sells at the farmers markets now were tobacco producers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they kind of went into the horticulture side of it because very similar to tobacco, you had equipment already there. You had the land already there. You kind of knew that. And like you said earlier, this seasonal aspects and everything of it and kind of what to do, because around the tobacco, you had your whole life kind of planned. You knew, you know, what you were going to do in the spring and the summer and in the fall. And then even in the winter. So, but same thing, you know, we've got so many producers that are doing high tunnels, they're doing greenhouses. So they're extending the season or starting their season early. And they're doing this to provide an income, provide a living for their family, as well as to provide great food and everything for the customers coming. Our farmers markets they vary so much across the host state. You know, we've got one in Lexington that's over 70 vendors. They have just activities. They have you can go in, it's just a social event. Right. So you can go in the morning and get breakfast, and you can stay all the way until they close. And so a lot of our markets are that way. But I do want to give a special shout out to our farmers markets and our producers that sell at that. When you go to the farmers markets, and I'm talking about the consumers, please tell them thank you. During COVID was so hard on them. Not only did our office throw things, but the governor's office, the CDC, you know, the Department for Public Health, we were all throwing things at them because we wanted them to stay open. And we proved that our farmers market could stay open and they were essential. You know, we had these big box stores that was open, and it wasn't fair to our producers because it was a safe environment where customers can come in and shop. We had a lot of customers tell us that they felt safe. They can get the products. Our farmers market stepped it up. We've got some that did curbside service, click it list, just like you would get at Walmart and Kroger's. And a lot of our farmers markets are continuing that. I know they're in Franklin County. We've got a market that does a pre-orders. and they can come in on a certain market day and pick up what they ordered and be gone. They don't have to stay at the market. We always joked because we always said our farmers markets are a social place to be, a party place. When COVID hit, we said, get them in and get them out.
Right.
You know, we hated to say that, but, you know, we wanted to make for sure, keep the distance, keep everybody safe. But, you know, we realized that during COVID, the stores were running out of food. And so, you know, people couldn't figure out why were they out of food. What were they doing? They were turning to our farmers, even our on-farm markets, even some of our certified farm markets that registered with Kentucky Farm Bureau. They even turned to them, especially for meat. You know, when those shelves you go in, it's hard to go into a store and see the shelves bare. But they were going directly to our farmers, reaching out to our farmers markets. And some of our markets, they had the best sales ever over the last 2 years. So we want to still encourage consumers, keep going out to your farmers markets, support our farmers, and keep that.
I think one of the things that we noticed here at our market, as far as, you know, when COVID, the first year in 2020, when that first happened, like you alluded to, there was a lot of regulation changes, a lot of guidelines, and as far as how are we going to be open and make this work. And we do appreciate all the folks, all of you all and the partners, you know, that allowed, made that where that could happen. And I give a shout out to the farmers as well for adhering to those guidelines to be able to be open, and to our customers that still shopped with us. But one of the things that I've noticed is that some of those new folks that we got at the market, you know, during COVID, because they couldn't either get it at a grocery store or they didn't want to go. They wanted to go somewhere where it was outside, not inside a building. And you could do that outside. But what they found was that they liked the quality of the products that they were buying at the market. And now that it's not, now you can go back into grocery stores and you don't even have the arrows on the floor, which direction you're supposed to be in, you know, but they're still wanting that fresh local produce and the meats or value added products or whatever they're looking for, because the quality's different. It's just, yeah. It just is.
And folks always want to know where their food comes from. What better way to know where your food comes from than buying at the farmer's market or buying from local meat vendors that are butchering their own animals and that type thing. And we've got a bunch more of them than we had before COVID. We've got a lot more of those type folks out there. So, you know, great opportunity to buy fresh, healthy products in a local setting.
That was exactly what I was going to say next, David. You just beat me to it. For a while, we've had a push about knowing where your food comes from. And that has grown steadily through the years. COVID actually gave that consumer the opportunity to form a relationship with the farmer, with that, where that food come from, by buying local, by supporting those farmers markets. Any of our direct, you know, from farm to fork type sales opportunities that there were, that gave people a chance for that relationship to grow. And that's a good thing. I hear the term, something I heard not too long ago, is a local vore. We know about omnivores and carnivores, but a local vore is someone who tries to source all of their food as locally as they can. I don't know how possible that is, but that's a big, big push that you hear in other places of people trying to bring that in. When we hear in all other areas, we hear it in agriculture too, but all areas of our consumers shopping right now, we hear about supply chain disruptions. And what better way to keep that supply chain from disrupting than to shorten it down? And by being able to buy it local really helps to shorten that supply chain for your fresh food.
You know, most people doesn't know that the food that's in the grocery store has probably traveled on a truck 1,500 miles to get from the farm to the table.
Right.
And so folks don't know that. At farmers markets, at your on-farm market, for a CSA, they're out that morning picking that products fresh. And so we're all excited right now, whatever, because, of course, we've got fresh strawberries coming in. And, you know, just to give you an example, buy fresh strawberries and then go to the store. You know, not saying anything bad about the ones in the store, because we get those during office season and they're still really good. And they come from California and other places and they're still just as fresh and good. But the biggest taste difference, you know, just do a taste test yourself. You know, I could sit here and preach to you all day, But just do a taste test yourself, and you can see a huge difference and everything to that. And you were saying the buy local push movement. We do have a program with Kentucky Department of Ag that's called Buy Local. It used to be Restaurant Rewards. And we partner with our caterers. We partner with our chefs, and we encourage them to source locally. And so they can get a certain percent of money back if they're a member of the Buy Local program and they support one of our Kentucky Pride members. And so that's been a big push for us. And then not only that, then we've got a Farm to Fork grant that we also offer. And that is pushing that local foods. And those are some really cool events and everything to go to. I know Webster County has had several. I think both of you probably had some
did one,
in your counties. And so we've got that available again. So make for sure that you signed up for that this year. That's always a neat thing, because the big thing is educating and talking to other folks that may not be from the farm. Tell them where their food comes from. And, you know, every time I do any kind of training or anything in front of our markets and our producers, I'm like, tell your story. Tell what happens on the farm. Tell the good, tell the bad. You know, social media is a great place to do that. I know I'm bad about, you know, when we get all our baby calves born, I always put it out there. But I never tell the bad side of it when you lose one. I just don't want to post about that. Yep. But that's what you've got to do. You've got to tell the good with the bad. But, you know, that's one way to get the information and everything out.
You mentioned Kentucky Proud. You know, some of our listeners may not even be in Kentucky. We've got some that are not in Kentucky. So, Sharon, just expand a little bit more about what is Kentucky Proud. What does that mean when somebody says, I'm Kentucky Proud, or if they buy something and it has that little logo on there that says Kentucky Proud? Explain what that's about.
You'll hear that a lot of times, people talking about, oh, I'm Kentucky Proud. And that may not be with agriculture, but we've got a program in agriculture that is Kentucky Proud. It's a state marketing logo, state marketing program, and everything for agriculture here in Kentucky. Anything that is grown, raised, produced, or manufactured that has a direct farm impact with a Kentucky farm direct impact can be Kentucky Proud. So when consumers are out shopping, you can see that Kentucky Proud logo and know that you're supporting a local farm. We've got a lot of businesses that has commercial producers that has taken that next step and go commercially. And there are Kentucky Proud members, and they are sourcing those products in their stores. So that makes it really nice or whatever. When you see that, again, you know that you're supporting local.
And I know you mentioned Carly, my daughter, being a baker, and she is she's a registered home baker, and she does participate in the farmers markets. But one of the things that she does is she buys her strawberries for her strawberry cake. She buys those from from one of our vendors, and so they're locally grown. And so she's using Kentucky Proud products in her cupcakes or her strawberry cake. So therefore she can also, advertise as being, you know, she's Kentucky Proud too, because she's supporting that, you know, the producers by buying those to put in her products. And she does that anytime that she can. And I know there's a lot of other folks out there throughout the state that are doing the same thing. And so, you know, that Kentucky Proud reaches further than the person that just grew it too. And I think that's a great opportunity for Kentucky growers and just for the to promote Kentucky foods.
I think Vicky's being pretty modest. Her daughter is a fantastic baker. She's not a baker. She is a fantastic baker.
She could have brought one of them strawberry cakes in today.
I'm thinking I would understand concept a whole lot better had there been some strawberry cake.
I should have thought about that. Strawberry season.
I did have some orange juice cake on Friday at staff meeting. So
I did not.
Yeah.
I ate it for you.
I had some cranberry juice.
But we do, and like Vicky said, and with the Kentucky Proud program, we've actually made a couple of changes this year. We have asked all of our Kentucky Proud members. We've got over 11,000 members in our system. And so we've asked all of our Kentucky Proud members to go in and renew their membership. Anytime you've got to fill out paperwork or make a change, you know, people doesn't like to have to go through all that process. It's like filing your taxes. You just don't want to do it, but you know you got to. But in order to stay a Kentucky Proud member, we've asked everybody to go in and renew their membership. And what we've done is we've even broken it down a little bit more. We're asking more questions. And so we're trying to get to the point to where A lot of folks are using local, and we want them to source local in order to be in the Kentucky Proud system. So if you haven't filled, if you are a Kentucky Proud member and you have not renewed your membership, please renew it. If not, you may not be in the system. But if you are thinking about joining, or if you're thinking about selling at a farmer's market, or just growing something that is going to be a value added to your farm that you're going to be able to sell, just reach out to us. You can go into kyproud.com and you can get all of that information.
It was really easy. I went on and did it. I'm a Kentucky Proud member. We raise cattle that we sell there as bred heifers and that type thing. So, you know, it's not only vegetables, but there are other Kentucky Proud products that you can register for as well.
That's right. So how many people during COVID and after that, how many people even now has come to you and asked you, will you process a beef, or are you selling fresh meat?
Yeah, there's lots of folks. And you know, there's a certain amount of beef producers locally that people know, and they will ask you, you know, pretty regular, you know, are you, you know, can I buy a calf from you?
That's
or something
right.
like that. So
if
you can get
that.
A date. Yeah. Yeah. So
we've got that in Frankfurt. We had a lot of people that was coming to us and asking us. And of course, my husband would look and he'd say, she can't do that because she names them all. And so, you know, and
she does name them all. That's not a joke.
Almost all of them. But my neighbors or whatever, they name them ribeye and T-bone, and they're keep right. going, when are you going to process one? When are you going to process one? But that is something that has really picked up our cattle yeah. and our meat producers, and, you know, even our pork and everything as well. You know, everybody is wanting something fresh, and they want to know exactly where they're getting it from. Yep. The problem that we ran into, though, is the processing facility, because it has to be a USDA-approved inspected facility in order to sell that processed meat and everything to public. Mm-hmm. So we do have certain regulations and restrictions and everything to go by. You know, not only does KDA does farmers markets, but we partner, again, with University of Kentucky. We value all so much, not because I'm sitting here looking at all three of you all, but we do across the host state. You all are such an important role to our producers. And then we also have just many other resources. We've got the Kentucky Farm Bureau Certified Farm Market Program that also helps a lot of our Kentucky Proud members are members of that program. And they help with education and marketing, and it just goes on and on. But the one big thing is Department for Public Health, Food Safety. We're a good partnership and everything with them. We're wanting to make for sure that we keep everybody safe. We haven't had any kind of food scares or anything in Kentucky. And if it's up to Sharon Spencer, that's how it's going to stay. We want to keep everybody healthy, because if there is something, it's going to affect all markets and not just one. So if I do see you doing something wrong at a market, I may slap your hand. I have been known to do that a couple of times. I'm not real strict, but we want to make sure everybody's safe, and I want to make sure they stay in business.
Well, you can do that and still be farmer friendly or business friendly at the same time. And we were talking about that a little bit earlier too, with a lot of businesses, you know, are out there for the good of the consumer. They can do that, and they can do their business without necessarily penalizing people as well. Yeah. Sometimes you can. Depends on what they're doing. But
you know, and one of the things I wanted to point out, Jay, is that folks, if you have questions, if there's people in the community that have questions, a great place to start is at the Extension office. And then we're going to move right into calling Sharon and getting some information from her and Farm Bureau. We have a great partnership between all three of those organizations in our state. So we appreciate the things that you do. And I know anytime I have a question, I just email Sharon and she'll get back with me real quick. And I appreciate that. We really do, because sometimes that doesn't always happen.
You know, I'm going to jump in and add to that right now about starting at your local Extension office. Excuse me. Something that I've noticed is we have a lot of different groups on different social media outlets that are talking about garden, they're talking about raising produce, they're talking about selling this and that and other. Make sure you're operating within guidelines of your state, and you can find that at your local Extension office. I see a lot of information passed around, technical information being passed around, some of it legal information, on social media, when that may very well apply to one producer in one state, but whoever they're passing the information along to could be something totally different. So it's a good point, David. Start out at your Extension office, and they'll point you down the right path.
That's right.
We've got really valuable resources. Due to the Kentucky Ag Development Funds, we've been blessed that it supports Kentucky Proud. It also supports a lot of different groups that we work with. KCARD, Kentucky Center for Agriculture Rural Development, is a great resource to reach out to. They help with business planning. So if you're thinking about getting into farming, we've got a lot of people moving into Kentucky. Trust me, the last month I've had so many calls of people calling in saying, I've moved from here, I've moved from there, and I just bought a farm. Tell me what to do on it. And they don't want my advice. It's like, let me get you some good advice, some resources. And the very first thing I do is tell them to reach out, though, to Extension, because that way you all know and you'll probably even know their farm that they purchased and what they can grow on it. But we also have the Kentucky Horticulture Council. They do a lot of trainings. We partner in with the Fruit and Vegetable Conference that we have in January. We do a direct farm marketing summit. So we've got a lot of additional trainings and social media. Social media has been a huge thing just to get your word out and also to market your business too. And so they've done a lot of different training sessions and everything for that. So just the groups that we've got, even Kentucky State University has small scale farm grants. Mm-hmm. All of this information is out there and grants are out there. The thing is, we can provide you with all of this information. They just have to take the step to go and do a little research or do a little paperwork. But it's out there for them, and we'll be more than happy to share all of it with them.
If somebody is in a community that maybe doesn't have a farmer's market, but they're wanting to find a market to shop at, maybe that's close by or something, how does somebody go about, finding a farmer's markets in Kentucky? Or maybe it's somebody that may be traveling, and I'm going to be traveling to a different part of the state, and while I'm there, I want to go to maybe some farmer's markets along the way. So and we know we can contact the Cooperative Extension Service, but maybe it's outside of hours. Maybe it's on a Saturday when I'm traveling. Is there a source that I can go to find some farmer's markets and where they're located across the state?
We get that question a lot. People traveling across the state and they want to have just some agritourism locations. They want to have a farmer's market or something to visit. We also get that when we've got the National FFA Convention up in Indianapolis. We've got a lot of different out-of-state kids that comes in and they fly into Louisville or to Lexington. And so they get to start here and start traveling across all the way up to Indiana. And they want to see farms, which is great. I love to showcase Kentucky every chance we get. But what we've got is we've got a program that's called Kentucky Proud, like I mentioned earlier. And so if they go to www.kyproud.com, be patient with us because we are in the process of doing some updates and changes. So you may not see everything out there right now, but they can always reach out to myself. Allie Hall is in the direct farm marketing division with me, and Allie is working with farmers markets. She can reach out and talk to them and tell them even how to get a farmers market started. A lot of times when folks want to bring downtown back to life, they think of, and I always say the warm and fuzzy, they always think of a farmer's market. It's a good benefit and everything to the producers as well as to their farmers, the community, but it brings people back into downtown. And so it's always a good way to do that. But anytime they need to find a farmer's market or an agritourism location, we've got 650 of those. All they have to do is just go out to the kyproud.com or just give me a call.
All right. Well, and we keep going back to the benefits, but, when we think about farmers markets, to me, it's a win-win all the way around because you truly are, you're helping your community because, like you just mentioned, it's bringing people back downtown or wherever that market is. You're people are getting back out and going and shopping. So you've got bringing just a little livelihood to the communities and the money that's spent there, like you mentioned earlier, Sharon, it's staying in the community. It's not going to a different community or going somewhere else. It's staying right here. And so you've got those benefits. And then it also, it benefits those farmers because like you alluded to, Jay, that transition from tobacco, to vegetables, a lot of that is similar because of the labor intensive and that type of thing. But, tobacco does market itself. Vegetables don't. And so if you're a vegetable producer, you've got to have that outlet. You've got to know where to sell that. And so it gives those producers a place to market, what they're growing. So it benefits them as well. And then as far as the consumer side, it's a benefit for them as well because they don't have to travel very far, one, to find what they're looking for, but they're they're buying local and they know where their food comes from. So all these things that we've talked about today at different times, you know, I think that just shows that that's just a, it's a win-win all the way around. It's just a positive all the way around. And I know in Webster County, our market is small, you know, compared to other counties. You know, we as far as numbers, as far as number of vendors, we're small, but we are big in variety. And we're big in the amount of produce that we have in the variety. And, you know, I think most farmers markets are like that across the state. You know,
they are. And one good thing, too, we've also got a program with Kentucky Pride that's called Homegrown by Heroes. And what that is, that's for our active military and for our retired veterans. And so giving them something, another opportunity to do. And we've been working with Fort Campbell, and we've got a program that's called Ag Vets. And it's a grant, and it's networking. And what that is putting folks that is interested in getting into agriculture, putting them with a farmer right now that's farming and letting them learn. So the mentorship and everything has just been a great experience. And so we've got a lot of veterans that's getting out of the service and moving to Kentucky and doing a lot of different things, but not only just the horticulture side, but doing flower production. Flowers have grown just tremendously here in Kentucky. I mean, it just keeps growing and growing, but who wouldn't want a fresh bouquet of flowers or whatever too? So guys, that reminds you of, make sure you take a fresh bouquet of flowers home, but get them at the farmer's market though.
Well, I think it is a good reminder of all the things that can come from farmers markets. And probably one of the things that I like the most about the community aspect of our farmers markets, we talk about these different state-supported programs, which have been so beneficial statewide, but in the end, it's up to that individual location to decide what they want their farmer's market to be. And that, to me, has been one of the things that I like the most. If you want to focus on produce and you want to focus on farm-raised products only, you can do that. And you can make your market be whatever out of that you want it to be. I've been to places in other states and across Kentucky, too, to where that farmer's market becomes almost a focal point for socialization on a Saturday morning. There's food trucks, there's kids' activities, there's lots of other things going on. There again, it's up to that individual community and that group that governs that farm market to decide what they want it to grow into. And that's been one of the things that I've liked the most about these type programs, is they can be tailored to whatever we want from a location.
But, you know, that's something that we're getting back into. Like I said, during COVID, we said, get your customers in, get your customers out, let them get whatever. Now we're getting back into, they're a party place, they're entertainment. You can catch up with our friends. So it's a good place to go, and just a lot of good support and a lot of good products that you're getting from. I mean, even soaps and candles and you know, everything. They've got just a little bit of mixture, but each farmer's markets across Kentucky are independently operated. They set their own rules, their own guidelines, how they want to do it. It could be that you're supporting only your producers in that county. Then it could be other producers coming in from surrounding counties. So it really kind of varies on them.
Sure. You know, I go to my local farmer's market in Hopkinsville a lot of times to buy something that I don't have, that I'm not raising currently or hadn't come in yet, you know, because of the seasonality of it. It's almost always produce driven is why I go. But I never go to that market without a couple of fried pies or a fresh loaf of bread or something that was totally unintentional, you know, that my wife's always so proud that I brought home.
We've even got wineries that's selling, right? So you can sample wine. And now we've got it to where you can have microbreweries as well as distilleries. So usually if you hear a lot of laughing and carrying on or whatever, it's probably over there sampling some of those products. But that's been a real neat addition and everything to add too. So
sure. And that goes along with what I said. You can make that farmer's market whatever the local community wants it to be.
Yeah, it's all about variety.
Right. It is. It really is. And if you're a community, I will say this too, if you're a community and you're sitting there wondering if you should have a farmer's market or not, or if you already have a farmer's market and maybe it's just kind of slowed down or kind of gotten to the point you're wanting to know what to do to maybe, you know, get some more customers interested, always remember that variety is a plus for everybody. And so I know that sometimes it's hard to think that way, because we as producers. Competition is good. You know, it's good, but we're scared of it sometimes. But the thing is everybody's going to bring somebody else in. They're going to have a different reach of people. And so when they come in, maybe to just buy from, they're thinking they're just like what you said, Jay, they think, you know, they're just going to come to one, but they're going to buy from more. And so really, you know, think about maybe adding some variety to it. And like you had mentioned, the candles and the soaps, that's mm-hmm. something we added last year. And now that's, it still has to be Kentucky Brown. It can't, you know, there's some guidelines that our market has set, but there are some other varieties and things that you can do as well. So just to keep that in mind.
And I think that leads us right into our timely tip. To be real honest, seek out your farmer's market and certified roadside stands for your fresh produce, meats, and value-added products. Buying local helps the community, the farmer, and the consumer.
That's right. Couldn't say it better myself.
You said it all right there. But it is. It helps everybody. Somebody that I used to work a lot with down in the Christian County area, Wayne Hunt, had been involved in a lot of different agricultural groups and studies through the years, and he liked to report the figure that the dollar that returns to the farm rolls over 9 times in a community before it actually terminates. And if you think about all the people that dollar supports, it's not just the farmer. It's the agribusiness where he bought his supplies. It's the farmer's market for their dues there. It might be the packaging company who supplies the paper or plastic sacks that you're selling your produce in. So all the way around, those dollars benefit our community, not just the farmer, our community.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea to support local. Anytime you can support local, I mean, that's just giving back to your friends and neighbors, and I think it's just a great opportunity. And I think the farmer's market is a great opportunity for our local folks to be able to sell their products. And I think without the Department of Agriculture stepping in and doing the things that they've done in the last 5-10 years, have really made a big difference for our farmers market folks, for sure.
That's absolutely right. So, Sharon, we want to thank you for being with us today and helping us with this show. We hope you've enjoyed it. We hope you'll consider coming back to Webster County sometime. I don't know what we'll do to draw you down here, but
get Carly to fix something.
Yeah, there I'll you make go. Sure we have Carly's cupcakes next
time. Well, strawberry cake was the first thing.
That's a little bribery. Yeah. I tell you what, I appreciate it. I appreciate everything that you guys do. Thank you all so much. But thanks for having me today. This has been fun.
Glad to have you down. And we want to thank you and thanks the host for this week's information. And thanks to our listeners for joining in. We hope you've enjoyed our show and will make plans to join us again next week for our next episode. And until then, remember, Kentucky Ag matters.